This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, help language complete a 1,500-piece jigsaw puzzle of John Constable's Heywayne, because even though we both secretly think it's boring, we do so enjoy each other's company. Coming up in today's show is a matter which I suspect will differ quite significantly from country to country and even within countries, so I'd be interested to hear how it works wherever you are. But first, a little word history, the etymology of etiquette. It's a French word and meant a label or ticket. In fact, etiquette and ticket both evolved from an older French word, étiquette, from a very old root meaning stick. Étiquette are thought to have been little tickets stuck to the wall. Possibly at first, they were written instructions for soldiers at their lodgings. But then, according to the American etiquette maven Emily Post, etiquettes were put up in King Louis XIV's garden at the Palace of Versailles, warning courtiers to keep off the lawn. And shortly, paper etiquettes were issued with all sorts of rules for genteel conduct. The word etiquette landed in the English language around the middle of the 18th century, when the Enlightenment period was in full swing in Europe, during which, among significant developments in politics and science and culture, there was a big trend for trying to elevate oneself by following ever more precise and complex codes of behaviour. It's around the same time that the word polite shifted from its original meaning of polished to its current well-mannered one. On with the show. I'm asked a lot why a word might be used differently in the US versus Britain, and the usual answer is because there's an ocean between us. Geographical distance leads to distinct evolution, hence some 80% of Australian wildlife being unique to Australia. Growing up in England, reading American books and watching American films and TV, I deduced that pants, biscuit, chips and fanny don't mean the same in the US as they did at home. But I thought I was on familiar ground with the word please. Technically, please does mean the same thing in both Britain and the USA, but I had absolutely no idea it is deployed quite differently on our respective sides of the Atlantic. Until the piñata of my ignorance was smashed open by linguist Lynn Murphy, who has been researching please.
Several people have observed that the British tend to say please twice as much as Americans do, but they generally hadn't looked at if there was a reason for that other than just assuming that the British are more polite, or more particularly the English are more polite than Americans. And so we wanted to go in and look at when Americans and British people are using please and see, is it just that Americans don't bother as much, or are they using the word for different jobs?
Lynn is an American who's been living in England for the past several years.
It's not that one group is more polite than the other. It's that they've got different rules, and if you know, if you're following the rules the right way, you'll get along.
It seems like an impossible divide. It's bigger than the ocean.
You know, when I first moved here, people would say to me things like, oh, in America, you don't say please. And I'd say, pardon me, we certainly do. You know, my mother drilled it into me. You have to say the magic word before you can have anything. But after people said this to me a few times, I started to notice that when I went out to dinner with my English friends, if I ordered first, I'd just say, I'll have the Diavolo pizza or whatever. And my friends would all say, can I please have? And then when my family would come to visit, they'd order things at restaurants and I'd just have to say please at the end of each thing they ordered because I'd become so conscious that it was missing in American speech and in the English context.
They really did a number on you.
Yeah. But as we looked at it more closely, I wrote about this on my blog and a lot of people wrote in and gave their feelings about it. And the theme of the posts by British people was, if you don't say please, you sound bossy. And the theme of the American commenters was, if you say please, then you sound bossy.
Please excuse me while I try to come to terms with this. I'm not a rarity among English people for using please almost as much as punctuation. Please could you pass the salt? Yes, I'd love a cup of tea, please. Please may I proofread that ransom note before you send it? I've been habitually sprinkling my speech with please to appear deferential, when all the time to Americans it was coming across as bossy and patronising.
And also, as you know, we looked into these things a little bit further, people would say things like, well, please is what a child would have to say to an adult.
Please can I go to the toilet?
or please is what an adult would say to a child.
Please stop poking mummy in the eye. And Lynn says the English tendency to use please at the start of a request is not the done thing in the USA.
It sounds very condescending.
Oh.
Well, it can go either way. I mean, that's the thing. In American, since please is marking power distance, it could be marking either upward or downward direction of power. So if I'm ordering from you in a restaurant and I say, please, may I have this? It could sound like I'm a bit bossy. Or the way I tend to interpret it, a secretary that I work with uses it a lot. And I tend to interpret it as her debasing herself to me. Please, could we meet on Wednesday? You know, it sounds really, you know, it reminds me of Oliver.
Please, sir, I want some more.
What?
Please, sir, I want some more.
More?
It sounds very much like the person is uncertain of their right to ask. Mm-hmm. Whereas in an American restaurant situation, the people involved assume what I'm doing when I order a pizza is I'm providing the waiter with the information they need to do their job. I'll have the pizza. It sounds more bossy in England, but in America, it's fine because it's not seen as a personal request to another person.
How am I ever going to master these invisible rules? For reinforcement, here's the linguist Raquella De Felice, who's been working with Lynn Murphy on the research into please.
It's basically about what the different groups of people translate please as in their heads. You know, there's the translation of please as, I am asking you something. This is just a little flag that I'm asking you something. And there's the translation of please as, I am being a polite person asking you something. And they're quite different things.
Well, one of the American sets of academics who've looked at please constantly refer to please as a word of pleading. And that's just not how it's used in British English. In British English, you use please if it's a small request, like, hello, waiter, may I have a pizza? But you wouldn't use please. You'd do something even more indirect if you were asking for something big.
When I'm asking you, can I borrow your pen? Do I have to be polite? Do I just have to flag it's a request? But if I'm asking you, can I borrow your car for a cross-country holiday? That's a really big deal. And I don't want to just do a token gesture of politeness. I want to be really, really friendly and appreciative and make it clear that I know I'm asking you a big deal. So I want to make sure that can I borrow your car and can I borrow your pen don't sound the same, don't use the same structures so that you can tell that I'm aware of this huge thing that I'm asking you to do.
So therefore, is it a problem because we Brits will just fling please out willy-nilly, we'll lather things with please, and therefore there isn't the language to distinguish between the loan of a pen and a car?
I think you do distinguish, though, because then you don't say please. Then you don't say, please, may I borrow your car? You say, I know this is a really big thing to ask, and I'd really, really appreciate it. Please say no if you don't want to do this, but could I possibly ever,
if it's not too much trouble,
borrow your car?
By that point, the person you're asking is like, whatever it is, the answer is yes, as long as you get to the end of the sentence before I die of old age.
But for Americans, if you're asking for something big, that's when you need the please, or if there's a big power difference. And so, of course, Americans are very into making it feel like there aren't power differences in relationships amongst adults. So, you know, when you're talking to children, you get please because there's a power difference. When you're talking to your boss, you might want to have a please, but in an American context, you might not, because then you'd seem too subservient.
Let me just jot this down in my big book of transatlantic etiquette. In Britain, please would be used to dismantle a hierarchy, while in the USA, the same job would be done by the absence of please. Huh. In British English, there's also a tendency to stick please onto phrases that aren't even requests.
Please feel free to contact me. Please let me know if I can help in any way. Whereas the American writers don't do that. And that's one way of noticing that actually please is just a routine thing rather than a flag that says, I'm asking something big of you. I need to be super polite.
Another example of that is putting please on expressions of politeness. So please accept my thanks. Please accept my congratulations. And that, you know, the please is sort of, you're not asking them a favor.
You could just say congratulations.
You could just say congratulations, so, but you got to put a please in there.
But why do people not just say congratulations? Why do they have to put in a please?
I think part of it is that the longer you make something, the more polite it sounds.
Mm. And yet you're kind of rudely taking up more of someone's time.
You are, absolutely.
This is very complicated. So can you suggest any rules that people listening can abide by so they're not going to cause offence on either side of the Atlantic? Inadvertently.
I guess this more straightforward one is if you're an American in Britain and you normally wouldn't use please, stick a please in it. Yeah. And vice versa, if you go across to America and you're British and you would normally put a please there, take the please off, although that's oversimplifying, obviously.
Yeah, I think it goes better the one way than the other. So Americans coming to Britain, say please, say thank you, say sorry, as much as you can possibly fit into your sentences.
More than you think.
Yes, if you're coming to England, say sorry at every available opportunity. If someone drops a brick on your foot, say sorry to them for having the temerity to possess a foot which obstructed the fall of their brick.
I do call that the passive-aggressive sorry. Because I used to work in a charity shop in England, and I would notice that people would run into me while I was shelving things on the bookcases, and they wouldn't say sorry unless I'd said sorry first. It was like sorry was the signal that I'd noticed that they'd done something wrong, and so I had to say sorry to get them to say sorry.
Rachele is Italian, but she's lived in the USA and Germany, and for the majority of the past 15 years, she's been living in England.
I still, after 15, 16 years, don't say sorry or thank you or please at the right time, apparently. I still sometimes ask for things in the wrong way. So I think you'll never really, unless you're born in it, you can never really fully acquire, because it's such unspoken rules.
So even if we wanted to change, we probably couldn't.
No. No, but we still like you.
Because we're so polite seeming, but it's all a facade.
And we wouldn't tell you to your face if we didn't like you, right?
Because it's not real politeness, is it?
It depends on what you mean by politeness. If what you mean by politeness is going through the motions to smooth social interaction, then that's real. That's as real as politeness gets. If what you mean is a sincere desire to be kind to somebody else, then maybe we need to call that something different, like friendliness or kindness or something like that.
And remember, we've only been talking about two forms of English. Not every language even contains please.
So it is an unnatural thing to do. I mean, anything that's social is unnatural in some way. But for instance, the Scandinavian languages pretty much don't have please. So when I'm speaking Swedish, I just end up saying thank you constantly because I'm aware that I need to be doing something polite, or I feel like I need to be doing something polite. So I just presumptuously stick thank yous in where English would have pleases.
How do they cope?
Oh, they say other things like, would you be so kind? You know, or things like that. Or they just sound bossier. But that's considered to be honest and straightforward, rather than bossy.
Whereas, stereotypically, we Brits avoid being honest and straightforward. Everything has to go through at least two rounds of obfuscation. Exchanging words with other humans is an elaborate dance.
It is all about economics. You know, in social interactions, is, you know, you give a bit, you take a bit, and then you have to give a bit back.
Lynn writes a great blog about differences between American and British English. It's called Separated by a Common Language. I'll link to it and her and Rachele's Twitter accounts at theallusionist.org/please. Your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is linstock, noun, a long pole used to hold a match to fire a cannon. Try using it in an email today. This episode was produced by me, Helen Zaltzman. Big thanks to Rachele De Felice and Lynn Murphy, and to Martin Austwick for the music. Please find me at Twitter and Facebook / Allusionist Show and at theallusionist.org.